All right, thank you again for that greeting. And once again, may I gather us together around the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now, and may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of this word. Now, when you see this, as I said earlier in the preamble, what Paul is doing, he's writing to the church, and this is actually addressed to men and women, but he's writing to the church, and he wants the leadership of the church to stand guard over it. But with anything, we also have to understand that to be a good leader who knows how to watch over the things of the church, we have to be filled with those things. We have to know what those things are. And so what Paul is encouraging is not only a watching over the church, but also a watching over ourselves. That is in context. How I hope to use these two verses today by supplying other scripture with it is to give all of us, especially dads, an encouragement this day as we focus on fatherhood and all of the good things that that gives to us. Your thought for today is, be led by the Lord so we can lead our families in His truth and love. Be led by the Lord so we can lead our families in His truth and love. First thing in these two verses is be watchful. That idea of watching. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now that particular verse then, Peter wants us to know that that adversary is like a hungry beast, and he continues to prowl the earth. He continues to look for his next prey item. All of us have watched enough documentaries, and we are familiar enough with the natural environment, especially within the area that we live, to understand that one of the first things that a predator wants to do is to separate a prey animal from the herd or from the group. When you get that prey animal by themselves, they are easier to overtake, especially if an animal, a predator, may hunt in groups or at least in pairs. And so by separating that animal, you take that animal out of the protection that the herd or the group or the family offers it. And so, men, one of the first things that I want you to see here is that what we are doing here today, this thing called church, is important to you if you are going to be the man and the father that God wants you to be. And again, if I say father here, don't think of father as just having the younger children that still live within your home. If you're going to continue to be an influence over all of your children, whether they're still in your home or whether they are, whether they have families of their own, this pertains to all of us. It also pertains to any one of you, male or female here today, that has an influence over someone else, that has a spiritual connection. You might be a spiritual mother, you might just be a special friend, you may be that person that an individual comes to when they need advice, when they need encouragement. All of those situations, these kinds of thoughts and encouragement supply this day. So I'm encouraging you not to just phase out if you're not a dad, but to continue to hear what God has said to us through His Word. This going back to the adversary, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. I've always found it good that God included that description, roaring lion, because I think it lets us know that God is letting us know that there is an adversary out there. When a lion announces his presence, and I say his because a male lion is the one that generally roars, then you hear that presence, and that is an announcement that I am here. And so you better be on guard. You better watch out for yourself, because I'm here, I'm hungry, I'm in this area, this is my territory, I'm announcing it to other lions that may want to encroach on what's mine. This is an announcement, and this is something for us to take in and be aware of, that this roaring lion who's announcing his presence here, and God is saying your adversary, the devil, is prowling around just like that. God told Cain that sin is crouching at the door, and the desire of that sin is to work against you. Sin is not there. Temptation is not there. Our adversary is not there to help us. Our adversary, again, there's that illustration of that bad dog on the chain. You're not going to change him. I saw something the other day that somebody had on Facebook about sometimes, you know, young ladies, they'll see potential in a man and they'll marry him on potential. And that's a dangerous thing to do. And what this Facebook little thing said was, unless you are changing a diaper, ladies, you're not going to change him. And so this is something for all of us to be aware here. This is something for all of us to be aware. Your adversary, the devil, is not someone we make friends with. If a bad dog has had a reputation and to the point where they put him on a chain and he announces his presence by snarling and barking, he is not asking you to come over there and scratch his neck. He is saying, stay away from me. I want to hurt you. And so, guys, be aware. Stay watchful. This encouragement from Paul is not just for that outside danger that comes into our homes, but it's also from the danger that can come to us from within. When we as men need to seek to keep ourselves pure and to keep ourselves away from sin. And more about that in just a little bit. But that danger that comes from without, sometimes that danger can be so scary that we focus on that danger from without, not thinking about the back door to our lives that have been left open. And our adversary can come into that door. And our adversary can wreak havoc within that household. Whether it's the household of your personal life, the household of your heart and mind, or the household of your family. Those kinds of ideas that can seep in. And so we are to be watchful, men, as guardians of the home. We are to be watchful of that danger both from without and from within. But we also need to be aware of that danger that comes from within us so that we can be good guardians of the home. We cannot guard against that which we don't identify. The more that we are associated with evil, the less we can identify God's desires for us, God's truth within our lives that we want our families to become a part of that truth and to grow up in that truth. I try to share it with as many people as possible, especially those who still have the young folks in their home. Is that now is the time that you need to be pouring into those young people all of God's truth. You need to be pouring yourself and you need to be pouring the Spirit into those young people, because one day they're going to walk out of the door and they're going to be on their own. They're going to be out there in that big world and they're going to be open and have all kinds of ideas being poured into them. And so the more we can do to prepare our young people spiritually, to be spiritually strong against our adversary who prowls around like a roaring carnivore, seeking who he can devour, seeking whose life he can destroy, seeking whose life he can make more difficult, all in opposition to the kingdom of God. Now is the time to pour into our children. But if your children have already grown up, if they're out on their own now, if they're either living as singles or living as a married with their own families, that still does not stop us from wanting to pour into them. You just have to keep saying the words. You just have to keep saying the words. One day, by God's grace, the words that you think have gone into deaf ears will be repeated to you. But now it will be their words, not yours. That idea then will become their idea. It would become part of them. But it would be put into them by your persistent and consistent saying of the words, delivering the truth, standing in that truth. Just keep saying the words. That brings us to number two, when he says here, stand firm in the faith. So know that truth and stand firm in it. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You've got to know the truth. Parent, friend, encourager, man or woman out there today, you've got to know the truth if you're going to share that truth. As we've said in here many times, the way that agents are trained to identify counterfeit money, I've read, is by being familiar with real money. They feel it, they touch it, they smell it, whatever they do with it. And they get familiar with that real money so that when a fake comes by, they'll know it. You know when you pick up play money. You know when you pick up Monopoly money or some child's toy and you know it's not real. Why? Because you know what reality is. You know what truth is. You know what the real money is. And so if you look at your spiritual life in that same way, if we're going to share that life, if we're going to be guardians of the home, if we're going to be watchers over not only our own hearts and minds, but over the hearts and minds of those that we care about, then we have to be familiar enough with God's truth to be able to identify falsehoods and false teaching, to be able to sniff out. Moms especially, you know, you've got that little sense about you that you can just tell when just something is not right. And dads, we too need to be aware that there are things that come into our home that are detrimental to our children. And there's so many ways that those things can be delivered this day. Social media and all of these other things that stream into our home can deliver all kinds of messages. And the thing about what Satan does is that he gives just enough truth to it. Like when he tempted Eve, there was just enough truth to that to make Eve to say, well, you know, maybe you're right. There's enough truth in these movements of society, let's say, movements of our culture, that it gets people's interest. And then we become open to the idea. And the more that idea comes in, the more familiar it sounds until we receive it. And dads, moms, if we're not aware of what is false by being familiar with the truth, then those kinds of ideas can begin to seep into us. And if the guardian of the home succumbs to the lie, then we become the lie giver, the lie liver. We become those who walk in that lie and represent that lie. And so we have to stand firm. We have to know righteousness. We have to live in that realm of righteousness. Living in righteousness prepares us to stand against falsehood. Living in righteousness prepares us to stand against falsehood. Because the longer we live in righteousness, the more we live in righteousness, the more righteousness lives in us and we walk in it and we're familiar with it, the better we're able to stand in that truth and to identify that falsehood that comes into our homes, that comes into our lives, that comes before us. Then he says here to act like men. Now this is sort of a little controversial statement here. There's a little different interpretations. The Greek word here that is used is only used one time in Scripture, and it's used right here. And so there's some debate among scholarship about exactly what was Paul talking about here. But in the Gospel according to Marty, I believe what Paul is talking about here is that he wants us to act like adults. to act like adults. Now, you might, in your translation, you might have it be courageous. The King James, I think it says quit like men, or acquit yourself like a man, old language. ESV, act like men. I believe is what it's saying here is that be an adult. Be an adult. What does that mean? It means that you've reached a level of maturity, which is what I was sharing with the children today. And in that level of maturity, then certain expectations come upon you, responsibilities. All of those kind of things about leadership, being the protector, the guardian, the guide of your family. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways." Now, in context, what that means is that we make a move or we progress to a higher level. And so when we see the Lord in eternity, the things that we do in church now, like Paul listed, perhaps prophecy or worship and these kinds of things, would no longer be needed by the church because we now are living in that truth. We're seeing God personally. I shouldn't have said worship there, but things like prophecy or the study and theology, all of those kinds of things that makes the church strong against evil now won't be needed then. And so there's a progression, there's a maturing that happens there. And so I believe what Paul is encouraging the church in Corinth here with is that same kind of understanding when it says be a man, is just act like an adult. Parents, dads, since this is our day, we need to be fathers and not buddies or peers, but we need to be fathers. I think a lot of fathers struggle when they try to be too many things to their child. If you go to any sporting event in high school or little league, usually it's the dad, but the mothers are coming on strong now too. And so we try to be referee, coach, you know, whatever else, the finger that you can point to there, as we try to be sure that our budding superstar, whether it's our daughter or son, make sure that he or she makes the major leagues, because we just know that they will. And so we stuff them into all of these things, and we argue with the referees, and we tell that coach that he or she doesn't know what they're doing, because we know that ours is the best player. Or if they're in a beauty pageant, you know, all of the judges are, you know, they're not thinking right today, because it's obvious to us that our daughter was the most beautiful young lady out there, right? But what we need to do is to be the fathers. We need to be the ones that can give praise, that can be proud, but also say the tough things. Ask God to give you the strength and the wisdom that is needed to say the tough things. And this happens not just in parent-child relationships, but in peer-to-peer relationships, even among colleagues. Be a man that stands in the truth and is familiar with the truth and has the courage to speak the truth. Take on adult responsibilities. We're no longer children. We're no longer those who have childish ways. We are now those who are to lead, those who are to inspire, those who are to encourage, those who are to correct. And so all of those things that come with maturity are to be displayed and to enacted by us and acted upon by us. So act like an adult, folks. The next thing is be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:11-12 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Folks, what we fight against, we will not defeat on our own. What we fight against, we will not defeat on our own. These spiritual forces in heavenly places are like diseases that come upon us. And no matter how much we walk or run or diet or exercise, no matter how big our biceps are or how strong our minds are, these diseases that come upon us, we cannot defeat them on our own. We need help. And these spiritual forces that we fight against are too strong for us to defeat on our own. Why is that? Because they never get tired. They're always coming at you. They don't need to rest. They don't need vacations. They've got one purpose in mind, and that is to disrupt the progress of the kingdom of God by disrupting the lives of the people of the kingdom of God. And that's what they do 24/7. And we can't stand up to that. And so God wants us all to be aware that He has offered to us resources to fight. If you had a serious disease and you go to a doctor and he says, this has been our experience that people respond well to this drug and this therapy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, thank you, Doc. I got this covered on my own. Appreciate your time anyway. And we walk out of the door. That's what we do to God. We hear, we take it in, we give Him a thank you, but then all that He's offered to us and the opportunity that He gives each of us to come to Him in prayer for strength, for guidance, for wisdom, the gift of assembling together in this house, all of these things are taken too much for granted by all of us. I know that there are some of you out there now that are grappling with very serious illnesses. And I don't want to just keep this in front of you right now. But I can't think of a better illustration than our health. You know, we pray for so many things and we thank God for so many things. But just remember, our health is a gift from God. Every day that you spend on earth is a gift from God. All of us. Every day that you can engage with the world and spend time with your family is a gift from God. And they're not to be taken for granted. Because it can all be taken away, or you could be taken out of this engagement at any particular time. And it can happen quickly. My former son-in-law, 40 years old, 41 years old, dies instantly. Leaves my grandchildren without a father. They don't have a father this Father's Day. Our health is not to be taken for granted. And so the opportunities that God has given to us to serve Him, to be strengthened by Him, are not to be taken for granted. Probably, I know I'm getting to meddling now, stepping on toes, but I'm stepping on mine too. Probably some of the most abused tools that God has given to us is church, scripture, the gathering together of God's people. But it's there for us to be strong. It's that, if you want to go back to that predator-prey analysis, it's the herd mentality. That in that herd, there's safety, there's encouragement, there's others watching out for you, if we see it that way. But if we see it as a, well, you know, you did this, you accusing me of that, well, you're just as bad. Well, that's not what church is all about. Church is for God's people to come together to watch over each other, to encourage us in our walks of life, to even point out sin in our hearts. But we are intimidated by that because we feel like we're just as big of a sinner. But that's not what the point is. The point is that we are to come together because we're all in this together, and to encourage each other to walk with each other in a way that says we're in this together. Look, my life is filled with mistakes, but where you're going is a way that I see that you're just, it's just not going to end in a good place for you. That kind of encouragement. And that's what we do for our families. That's what it talks about, being mature, being a man. Because why? Because we are to do it in love. That's his final remark here. Let what you do be done in love. 1 Corinthians 13 again reminds us, if you speak with the tongues of men and angels but have not love, it's just noise. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned and have not love, I gain nothing. You can hang the moon, but if you don't do it in love, it's not going to last. It's not going to make a difference in the end. And so it has to come from a heart of love. The love of God, the love of others. If not, you're just serving yourself. You're lifting self up. And that's been mankind's sin throughout Scripture, when we lift up self. From Genesis to Revelation, the lifting up of self, putting mankind on the throne of God, letting up, trying to take away from God his right to judge and be king over us by saying that we know what is right and what is wrong. And so lifting ourselves up is all that will happen. No matter what we accomplish, if we don't go about this in love. Now, young folks, there's nothing wrong with striving to be successful as long as we understand that God's been with us all along the way. It's just like what I said about our health. We might be tempted to think that my hard work, my education, my ability has put me in this place where now I have this great job and I'm making all of this money. And part of that is true. But where did that ability come? From where did it come? Where did that health come for you to make that kind of progress in your life, to land that kind of big job? Where did the talents and giftings come from? This is what the carnal mind, the worldly mind does not acknowledge. That God is the giver of gifts. If you look at Scripture and all of the creative things that God wanted his people to do in building his temple and his tabernacle, if you look at carefully, it says that so-and-so was given the gift and they learned how to be the tool makers and how to make this ornamentation for what God wanted them to do. And our idea just lets us know that God gives us the gifts that we need. God gives the gifts of being medical folks, of being teachers, of being all of the things that we need in this world to make this world a better place. And he will give to you all that you need to be good parents and good friends and good encouragers in any other way that he gives you that opportunity. If we will go to him and we will seek that. And it all starts with Christ. It all starts with Christ, by taking him in, by letting him fill you with his Spirit, and then surrendering to that Spirit, that we will listen to the leadings of that Spirit, because it is the words of God that Spirit is leading us to and for. All of these things that I've mentioned this day are tools that God has given to us. Means to encounter this world, means to overcome sin, means to be that good, godly parent that our children need, whether they're this high or this high. But like any tool that's hanging at your home or in a garage somewhere, it needs to be used. And so that's my plea for all of us this day, that we will use all of these things that God has given to us, especially the Spirit that comes to us through Christ, to guide and guard and lead, to make us into the parent, the friend, the colleague that we need to be, to stand firm in that truth, so that God can use us in so many ways for His glory and honor. May I pray for you. And Father, we just come before you this day thanking you for parents, thanking you for the gift that is ours and our children, the joy that they give. No matter if they're small or adults, they give us joy and they can give us so much heartache. And so we ask that you will give us the strength and wisdom that we need to navigate the path of life that leads us to be good parents. May we always be mindful that the good gifts of life, our health, our jobs, our children, life itself comes through your hand. And may we be thankful for that. And we ask all of these things in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.